information is free.
The law.
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge.
Tonight we care.
Appear to border
and it shows.
The law.
The country.
You will remember nothing you have seen or heard here.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, it made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
Some terrorist thing just to steal some money out of Congress?
Their arrest was only the beginning.
We are being lied to by
the government. They were innocent. They have no idea what they're up against.
And they got together and swore a pact to the devil. They said, "We will serve you if you'll get us free." Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 153 of MediaMonarchy.com. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show. It's January 15th, 2010, and Media Monarchy is your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies and cover-ups, earthquake, police state, disaster capitalism, financial terrorism, avatar blues, executive orders, and a council of governors, Houston drones, El Paso guns, Poppy Bush, and the not-so-secret service, Brune, Geithner, Grayson, the Fed debt, food stamps, and GMOs, all that, and so much more. It's January 15th, 2010. It's episode 153 of MediaMonarchy.com.
Nuclear war. Nuclear war. They're talking about nuclear war. Nuclear war. The nuclear war. They're talking about nuclear war. It's a motherfucker. Don't you know? They're talking about nuclear war. They're talking about nuclear war. It's a motherfucker. Don't you know? It's a motherfucker. Don't you know? If they push that button, your ass got to go. It's a motherfucker. Don't you know? If they push that button, your ass got to go. They're talking about nuclear war. They're talking about nuclear war. If they push that button, your ass got to go. They're talking about this nuclear war.
They're talking about
nuclear war.
Nuclear war.
If they push that button,
if they push that button,
your ass got to go.
Your ass got to go.
If they push that button,
if they push that button,
your ass got to go.
Your ass got to go.
And flash you.
Flash you.
So high in the sky.
So high in the sky.
Gonna flash you.
Gonna flash you.
So high in the sky.
So high in the sky.
You can kiss your ass goodbye.
Kiss your ass.
You can kiss your ass goodbye.
Kiss your ass.
You can kiss your ass goodbye.
Kiss your ass.
If they push that button.
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 Gonna flash your ass.
Gonna flash your ass.
So high in the sky.
So high in the sky.
You can kiss your ass.
Gonna kiss your ass.
Goodbye, goodbye.
Goodbye, goodbye.
You can kiss your ass.
Goodbye, goodbye,
goodbye, goodbye. You can kiss your ass.
Kiss your ass.
Goodbye.
Here comes a rap song, country song, heavy metal folk song, coming from the well that's fed the prophets writing all along its own, to the highest goal that humankind could want to reach. I come to talk to you, I didn't write this song to preach, so listen close, I ain't verbose like rappers talking hype. My time is far too precious, plus I just plain ain't the type. This song, it goes and flows out to all my Americans, North, South, and Central, and my family in Afghanistan, Israelis, Arabs, Europeans, yeah, and Africans. You get the picture, can the strict escape and peace from being friends? I come to break down borders, redefine the new world order, be truth in this recorder, be a global building motor. I have one aim that's plain and straight ahead of me, to be a new world order, setting myself free. Tie, yai, yippee-yi-yay, fire raining down from the sky today. Hey, what's that sound? Babylon is falling down, Babylon is falling down. Talking about the world to be, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, getting people all around to stand up for equality. We're free, we be lots of people just like me. That's why we're really freaking out Tom Warner and the FCC. This ain't no kiddie cuss words, but real controversy. Makes the fake cowboys in Congress shake inside their boots. The new world order rips the weeds of lies up by the roots. I guess it's great that their time's late and it's become my fate to write with so much love these words impossible to hate. I scam Will Rogers, Walt Whitman, and Hank Williams too. Two Bobs, Marley, Dylan, Nas, and Ani Most Def Who. But I ain't after being Elvis Presley angrily. I get my words from Jesus Christ, Jalala Dunumi. I learn my love from Martin Luther King and from Gandhi, and put it here for years to hear and in the streets to see. I come to break down borders, redefine the new world order, be truth in this recorder, be a global building motor. I have one name that's plain straight ahead of me, to be a new world order, setting myself free.
Ladies and gentlemen, yes, yes, yes. A double shot mixed by DJ Spooky. We heard Sun Ra with Nuclear War and Stephen Smith with New World Order. And the New World Order looks a lot like the Old World Order, my friends. And let me once again welcome you to episode 153 of MediaMonarchy.com. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show MediaMonarchy.com, as well as FoodWorldOrder.com and CyberspaceWar.com. It's January 15th, 2010, and I'm coming to you live, as always, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the mothership, thanks to the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. Blasting out simulcast style, 92.3 FM and 1500 AM in Casper, Wyoming, thanks to ZeroPointRadio.com and the worldwide home of free speech, RevereRadio.net. Thanks to Free Radio Olympia, 98.5 in Olympia, Washington, rebroadcasting Media Monarchy, Saturday mornings at 8, FrOlympia.org. 87.9 in Canton, Georgia. Thanks to Ground Zero Radio, stickam.com/groundzeroradio. 104.1 FM, Berkeley, liberationradio.net. 90.7 FM in Kisilov, Alaska. Thanks to KWMD and oneskyradio.com. CascadiaPublicRadio.org and radio23.org. Huge thanks to all those guys. You can, of course, make contact and comments, send me news tips, anything of the sort. Facebook.com/Media Monarchy, MySpace, Twitter, YouTube, Yahoo, Gmail, Skype, Instant Messenger, and you can get the podcast anytime thanks to iTunes, RadioForAll.net, and Archive.org. We always like to glance at what's happening in the news. Live in the studio, January 15th, 2010, U.S. Air Force reopens Haitian airport. Of course, we will cover the disastrous situation in Haiti. Giuliani's still out running around. Dems very close to healthcare deal. You know. I'm going to have a hard time topping last week's episode, 152. For whatever reason, it just kind of all came together. It all flowed really well. I think the points were well made and succinct and covered a lot of information. I felt good when I got out of the studio, and I thought it was probably one of my best shows. And then I got several comments from some of you guys saying the same thing. So I thank you. And I always try and do my best, but sometimes, you know, lightning strikes and you get a winner. So, again, let me welcome new and returning listeners to Media Monarchy. All the alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups that your little heart can handle. Like we said in the intro, a lot to go over. Earthquakes and police state. So we're going to start with a news purge posting on MediaMonarchy.com. It's the January 14th news purge. Attention, duped masses! Which is a line from Simpsons. I'm not trying to insult you. So let's just get right into it and start the news purge with the latest 9/11 updates. Former Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer of Able Danger Infamy has a new book coming out. I believe it's being vetted by the feds as we speak. Able Danger, if you recall, was the pre-9/11 intel organization that had identified hijackers. You recall Kurt Weldon tried to bring attention to it. He was thanked with a smear campaign. So Anthony Schaefer recently did an interview with Alex Jones, and if you're not familiar with the Able Danger situation, again, just go to historycommons.org and look up Able Danger. I try and supply you with a lot of supplemental and contextual links on MediaMonarchy.com. I don't try to make up your mind for you. I try and give you tons of information, and then you can decide, because only by being better informed can we all hope to make better decisions about all of our lives. So having said that, let's listen to a few brief moments with Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer of Able Danger.
Right. Well, to put it all in kind of a nutshell, I'm a case officer by trade, trained by CIA years ago, a lot of years ago. My primary job with the Department of Defense was to conduct human intelligence operations, which the public commonly knows as espionage. I did that for about 20 years, and my specialty was special operations support, direct support special operations. So while I wasn't necessarily a Green Beret, I spent a lot of time with him, supporting him, and then doing things in what's known as the black world, the black operations world. And of course, within the context of that, I did a lot of it both as an Army civilian, as an Air Force civilian, and also as a Defense Intelligence Agency civilian. All along, I was an Army reservist, and a lot of the stuff I would do and still continue to do is as an Army reservist. The primary focus of all of that work, frankly, was going after hard targets, going after the real challenges of the country, the North Koreans, the Iranians. I did a lot of work on things like counter-drug back when we were actually focusing on counter-drug back in the 90s. And it all kind of culminated in the late 90s, at least from my perspective, in a project called Able Danger. And Able Danger was essentially an entrepreneurial concept come up that was brought up by General Hugh Shelton, who was the then chairman of the Joint Chiefs, who tasked General Schoomaker, the then commander of Special Operations Command, to bring together a group to really do out-of-the-box thinking, to take a clean sheet of paper, if you will, and try to see what would be possible to go after a transnational, and what we mean by transnational is something that does not sit in one single country, a transnational threat, which back then was the then blossoming threat of Al-Qaeda. And it was very innovative. We tried to put together a hybrid team of folks from Defense Intelligence, which was my element, something called Status Ivy. We were a special mission task force, along with technology and support of the Army Land Information Warfare Activity, which was doing some very advanced data mining, which was then being funded by Representative Kurt Weldon. There's a great interest by Congress to try to actually do some things with new technology, all on behalf of the Special Operations Command, who had the charter, who was tasked by General Shelton and General Schoomaker to try to find ways to go after Al-Qaeda. And again, it's notable here, Alex, that this was all pre-9/11. This was all done 98, 99, 2000. And it was a very advanced for the time data mining effort. That was the, a lot of people don't understand, that was just one part of it. The actual components, the larger moving pieces, if you will, were never really brought to light during the Able Danger hearings and everything else. And I will talk about that a little bit more in the book when the book comes out. Right now it's going to review, so I'm not sure what's going to make it through.
So that's just a couple moments with Anthony Schaefer. He was gagged. And again, Able Danger had essentially identified Muhammad Atta, the supposed lead hijacker. So what basically I think you have, and to put it simply, and again, I implore you to do your own research, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. You have good people at all levels of government trying to do a good job, and sometimes they uncover malfeasance, either negligent or darker, in that the rogue networks within the military-industrial complex are playing red team, black hats. You have good uncovering the bad, and it all swirls around in this disgusting black stew. And this news posting, this news purge, attention duped masses, has tons of media embedded along with it, linked up. We're only going to hit a smattering of that as we move through it. Again, if you're only checking out the website, you're missing out on the show. And if you're only listening to the show, you're missing out on all the contextual information on MediaMonarchy.com. Moving down the 9/11 updates list, German Business Journal questions 9/11, saying, quote, "We don't believe you." That's from Redacted News. This next one, we need to check out a little more. This comes from Raw Story. Obama staffer wants cognitive infiltration of 9/11 conspiracy groups. We've mentioned Cass Sunstein before, but it's been several months, and it was just as the criminal cabinet was coming together. I believe it was the same time John Holdren and all his eugenics came in. But in a 2008 academic paper, Obama's appointee to head the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs advocated, quote-unquote, cognitive infiltration of groups that advocate, quote-unquote, conspiracy theories like the ones surrounding 9/11. Cass Sunstein, Harvard Law professor, co-wrote an academic article entitled Conspiracy Theories, Causes and Cures, in which he argued that the government should stealthily infiltrate groups that pose alternative theories on historical events via, quote, chat rooms, online social networks, or even real space groups, and attempt to undermine, end quote, those groups. As head of the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs, Sunstein is in charge of overseeing policies relating to privacy, information quality, and statistical programs, that according to WhiteHouse.gov. Does this remind you of something called COINTELPRO, counterintelligence program, infiltrating groups in order to disrupt them? seeding bad ideas, seeding mistrust, seeding violence in grassroots groups. So that's another fantastic criminal character in the cabinet of the Obamasiah, the Prince of Peace Prize. Sarah Palin thought Saddam was behind 9/11, which that's no big surprise. The ship that was made with World Trade Center steel is already broken. That comes from military.com. Fiancé Doreen Noon wins battle over 9/11 firefighters' pension. More on that from sphere.com. We also have the latest episode of the BBC Conspiracy Files. Osama bin Laden, dead or alive. We have all those clips as a playlist linked up on YouTube and more from 911truth.org. Another one from Redacted News. Too big to allow. Some unmentioned ramifications of 9/11 Truth. And the last update is another four-part video. 9/11 Truth as a challenge to the peace movement. The speech by Dr. Graham McQueen. And I think that's something we don't mention enough here when we're discussing 9/11 Truth, that 9/11 Truth is inherently anti-war, I think. If you want to bring an end to the war of terror, why not investigate the blank check that let it all happen and lets it continue to happen to this day, even under the new change administration? Moving down the news purge, let's get into the biowarfare and EnviroHealth updates. A strange situation in Moorhead City, North Carolina. We've got a report from the New York Times. Port shut down over explosives leak. This goes back to January 12th. An early morning accident at the port in Moorhead City, North Carolina, spilled as many as 5 gallons of a highly explosive chemical, prompting officials to close the port and issue a voluntary evacuation for the surrounding area. By early evening, emergency officials had contained the spill of PETN, or the powerful explosive that I can't pronounce. This all according to Karen Fox, spokeswoman for North Carolina State Ports Authority. The port was scheduled to open for biz 8 on Wednesday, and the voluntary evacuation was canceled. The incident has been resolved in a safe manner. The incident occurred about 4:40 a.m. when a forklift operator punctured a container, putting holes in 9 110-pound drums containing the PETN explosive, which you may recall we mentioned last week because that's supposedly what the underwear bomber had. That was, of course, after his well-dressed handler got him on the jet going from Amsterdam to Detroit. Here's a quick bit of the press conference near the Moorhead City after the port was shut down after this PETN explosives leak.
This morning about 4:44 a.m., we were called to a hazmat incident down at the port. Things have progressed throughout the day. In just a few minutes, Chief of Moorhead City Fire Department, Wes Lell, will give an update briefing of where we stand now. I know there's been some unauthorized phone calls going around throughout our community. Some people that are getting a little scared of what might be happening down there. And yes, the product is a PETN, which is an explosive, flammable product. But I feel very comfortable with all the assistance of all the units we have around here from the Moorhead City Fire Department, from our Carter County Emergency Management, from the Coast Guard, from the Cherry Point Marine Base, to all the units around here that are helping, that everything's under control, and we don't know exactly how long it's going to be that we will lift this voluntary evacuation out of downtown Moorhead, which is approximately a half-mile radius from the port, but we will get it open just as quick as we can, and at this time, again, thank everybody for helping us get the word out, and I feel very comfortable. We got the governor's office here. They're working with us. I've talked to Senator Hagan. She's any assistance we can get from her office, and we'll be talking in the future. And if one good thing comes out of this, is experience. So when something, if and when, we hope it does, and if and when something like this happens in the future, we'll be better prepared for it.
Port shut down over explosives leak. And again, we're always trying to pay attention to the labs and the installations and the strange events and explosions and negligence and things that happen, which sometimes happen during a drill. Which brings us to our next headline from Jerusalem Post. Biowarfare drill begins on massive scale in Israel. The WashingtonExaminer.com has an interesting one. Terror threat to city water. DC Aqueduct is switching their poisons. Chlorine change to protect DC, Virginia water supply. The main disinfectant in the drinking water of nearly a million DC and Northern Virginia residents is being switched by the Army Corps of Engineers to thwart the threat of terrorists releasing a deadly chlorine gas. The switch will be from chlorine gas to a liquid form of chlorine called sodium hypochlorite. Both are equally effective, according to the Washington Aqueduct, an arm of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, but the liquid, quote, is considered much safer to transport, store, and use than gaseous chlorine. That's WashingtonExaminer.com. A bizarre one from Pravda. Sheep gives dead birth to human-faced lamb in Turkey. Investigate if you want. But I think that falls under the BioWars EnviroHealth subheading. So whether we're posting headlines about glow-in-the-dark cats or spider goats, the brave new world order indeed. Geoengineering conference to discuss blocking the sun. Which, of course, will make you think that the Simpsons did it. As hundreds of people die worldwide as a result of record low temperatures in the midst of a savage winter, scientists are preparing for a conference in which they'll discuss measures to use geoengineering to block out the sun. The Summit of Climate Scientists, to be held in California this March, will examine drastic techniques for slowing climate change that are controversial and have been described as geopiracy, so says The Telegraph. Most techniques focus on ways of reducing the sun's rays by blocking them using mirrors orbiting space or by spraying sulfur compounds into the high atmosphere to reflect sunlight away from the Earth. Another proposal involves sending spaceships into the upper atmosphere to spray seawater into the sky and reflect sunlight back into space, an idea that would seem more at home in the context of some bizarre alien invasion movie. Geoengineering the atmosphere. This is all about the climate control. And what are those things they're talking about? Spraying in the sky to be able to do that? Do you think maybe they've already been doing that? There's a video from KUSI.com with John Coleman, founder of the Weather Channel, on the coming climate control tyranny. Yes, that's right, the founder of the Weather Channel knows that the man-made global warming hoax is just that. And again, even if it is real, what is paying carbon indulgences to the Rockefellers and Goldman Sachs and Al Gore and Obama and the Chicago Climate Exchange and all that? What's that really going to do? We, of course, had the Copenhagen Summit several weeks ago. New news from CBS. Copenhagen Summit turned junket. That's, of course, all the wheeling and dealing and jet setting. They tell you you're dirty, but they fly around in charter jets and drive limos. Farmers dig in heels against the cap-and-trade scam. That's from redgreenandblue.org. EU carbon traitors charged with money laundering in fraud case. You see what I'm trying to illustrate here for you? Carbon traders, T-A-T-R-A-D-E-R-S, but I like traitors much better. Three Britons and a Dutchman, which sounds like the beginning of course, some sick joke. Three Britons and a Dutchman have been charged by Belgian authorities with money laundering in an investigation into fraudulent trading in carbon emission permits, Belgian prosecutors said last Monday. The fraud occurs when carbon credits are bought and imported tax-free from other EU countries, then sold to domestic buyers, charging them value-added tax The sellers then disappear without paying the tax to the government. 30-year study shows childhood lead exposure contributes to adult criminal behavior. That's from allgov.com. Kenya's trial HIV vaccine leaves 46 infected with HIV. AllAfrica.com has that story. James Corbett of Corbett Report and I cover this on the latest episode of The New World next week. The eugenics op worldwide, quote-unquote, tainted vaccine. So here, literally, you have a vaccine trial of an anti-AIDS drug run in Kenya, and it ends up with 46 people being infected with the virus. Sure, it's all just a mistake, though, right? UK ministers preparing to offload millions of unwanted swine flu vaccines. Truckloads of unused swine flu in the U.S. as well. That's from My Fox NY. Two Charleston area medical center workers in West Virginia fired after refusing the swine flu vaccine. That's from DailyMail.com. And the last note from BBC, a nudge towards sobriety and health. The idea of putting labels on liquor telling you, but don't be a loser and drink this. Mixed messages all around the world. A couple notes on the drug war. California judge makes the highway patrol return 60 pounds of pot to its rightful owner. Again, another fantastic one from allgov.com. And coedmagazine.com has the 10 most successful potheads who are cool enough to admit it. Now, if you check out this list, I wouldn't really necessarily call any of these people potheads, as if that's something positive to be anyway. But they're folks who have at least admitted to smoking the evil devil weed that, you know, has been around for millennia and has helped people with, you know, food and health and textiles and all that. But it's bad. But it's folks like Richard Branson and Rick Steves and Aaron Sorkin and Michael Phelps and, yes, Obama and even Bloomberg and eugenicist Ted Turner and Montel Williams and Stephen King and the son of a Nazi, the man overseeing the destruction of California. That's right, Schwarzenegger. A couple notes on geopolitics. An excellent piece from Redacted News. Amdocs, A-M-D-O-C-S, Amdocs bids in an Indonesian project as a U.S. company and not as the Israeli company that they are. But they lied and told Indonesia's communication ministry that the company is actually U.S.-based. What this piece from Redacted News goes into is all the connections between Israeli spying, from the art student spy ring, of course, the Carl Cameron investigative report from several years ago, busting Israeli spying, the whole ugly web. Bomb kills professor in Tehran, and as if the news for Haiti isn't bad enough, something from the end of December by way of the Associated Press. Report says 225,000 Haiti children work as slaves. History Mystery Notes, Grizzly Skull and Bones trophies to be auctioned. Skull and Bones isn't just for Bushes. It was for Obama's early financial advisor, Austin Goolsbee, as well. Grizzly trophies from Yale University's mysterious Skull and Bones Society, whose members include former President George W. Bush and Poppy Bush, are going to go on auction in New York this month, thanks to Christie's. The human skull and two large bones are estimated to sell for between $10,000 and $20,000 on January 22nd at Christie's. Britain apologizes to thalidomide victims. That would be 50 years too late. The British government apologized and offered compensation to hundreds of people who suffered the effects of thalidomide, a drug once prescribed to pregnant women that was, of course, later linked to major birth defects. Thalidomide sufferers and campaigners hailed the move and said it was long overdue. The last note on History Mystery is another two-part video brought to my attention from BrassCheckTV.com called War is Theft. And what it goes into is something I was not familiar with, and that is Golden Lily, a secret history. It's hard to imagine, but the Japanese elites killed more people, stole more efficiently, and inflicted more suffering than the Nazis by a large degree, but we never hear about that, do we? You can check out bowstring.net for more. And again, this is just another bit of data mining that I've done, spreading it out to you. War is theft. And now it's on to the media memes with the news flash here, thanks to Reuters, Dateline Sydney. Couch potatoes beware. Sitting in front of the television for hours daily could shorten your life. This according to an Australian study. CIA and Hollywood, strange bedfellows they are not. A follow-up from what we mentioned last week, The Body of Lies, CIA working with Hollywood filmmakers. Oliver Stone's Secret History is going to put Hitler in context. So Oliver Stone has a new miniseries documentary coming out called The Secret History of America, and in promoting it, he said something about Hitler's an easy scapegoat, and he's going to try and put him into context. He got a shitstorm for that, which isn't surprising. And that shows, in a way, what we're up against as far as trying to disseminate alternative history and alternative news, that everything is within the fake left right paradigm. So, you know, when I said I wasn't voting for Obama, people think, oh, you're going to vote for McCain. No. Oh, so if you say you're going to put Hitler in context and that he's an easy scapegoat, oh, well, you're a Nazi and an anti-Semite, right? No. If you do a little research, you'll see that generally throughout history, both sides of any conflict are funded by the same folks. Even a little bit of U.S. history will let you know that we helped fund the Nazis. Again, it's just how far into the investigation you want to go. So it will be interesting to see Oliver Stone's documentary, Secret History of America. Of course, the major media meme going on is something I've still resisted seeing myself, and that would, of course, be the massive media sensation known as Avatar. Not a day goes by that people don't talk. It's what everybody talks about. And there's definitely something there, as it is a massive, massive social meme. And what's in there? We've been following some of the Marxist accusations and anti-US and all of that stuff, so we do even have a little more. Audiences experience Avatar blues. That's right. People reporting depression after seeing the film, after being immersed in Pandora, and they come back out and see this dirty, terrible world that somebody should really do something about.
Check out this comment left on a fan website. Here it is. When I woke up this morning after watching Avatar for the first time yesterday, the world seemed gray. It was like my whole life, everything I've done and worked for, lost its meaning. Lost its meaning after watching this movie? All right, Joe, did these people who are posting, I mean, are they adding details of their life? So you kind of know, well, hey, life isn't that great. So yes, that would make the movie and this world that much more appealing.
I think the great thing is on these online forums, now they're finding a community of people who feel the same way. And through finding that community, they're starting to feel better about themselves and about their life.
So they're getting some help. And Stacey Kaiser, let me get you in on this. So is that a good thing? That they're, it's not like they're wallowing in pity maybe they can, hey, they're dealing with this too, and they're lifting each other up. Is that the good thing that can happen through this?
Absolutely. Anytime you can bond with a community of people who feel like you feel better.
Okay.
So, again, I've not seen the film Avatar. I'm such kind of a contrarian snob that whenever something gets that big, I pretty much resist it. Just out of spite. I believe I mentioned what I refer to as the lowest common denominator, that anything that big that hits that wide a population has to be dumbed down to a level to where it's going to appeal to that many people. So whether it's Avatar or Coldplay, just not really interested. However, again, I can't, I guess, reiterate this enough, that something this massive has got to have multiple levels going on within it. The predictive programming, the climate control, I'm sure it is all embedded within Avatar. The last note, Vatican slams Avatar, says it promotes nature worship over religion. Another great video playlist, but again, not enough time to go over it. Social critic Slavoj Zizek, who I recently streamed a little bit on Netflix with his Pervert's Guide to Cinema. It's basically media and psychoanalysis. He's got a new video called Living in the End Times. Media meme note 2, Nova Scotia Bank is now Canada's biggest book publisher and media publisher. The bank's owning the media. No doubt you've heard about the NBC battle, so not only are they being gobbled up by Comcast, but there's the Leno-Conan battle. Conan wrote a little press release. People of Earth basically says he won't host The Tonight Show after Leno. And NBC pretty much seems willing to let Conan O'Brien hit the road. More on that from The Washington Post and Huffington Post and TV Newser. The last note on media memes, however, is another episode of the undeniably interesting new TV show from libertarian, former independent governor of Minnesota, Navy SEAL, professional wrestler, actor, Jesse Ventura's Conspiracy Theory. Latest episode investigates the government's 2012 apocalypse conspiracy.
I've heard things that'll blow your mind, and now I think it's time you get the whole story.
Now, a doomsday conspiracy. The government plot to save the elite, but not you.
We are maybe just a few years away from destruction, the likes of which no society has ever seen.
Do scientists really believe the Earth is headed for disaster in 2012?
They would fly out the transformers of the planet. Would be back to the Dark Ages.
One of the scenarios is this 5,000-foot tall tsunami wave that'll wash over the continental United States.
Do our leaders think they can build bunkers for a select few and leave the rest of us to fend for ourselves?
The U.S. government have been on a crash shelter building program from coast to coast.
Jesse Ventura takes his investigation to the highest levels of power and deep underground.
Are your security forces prepared to fire on American citizens to protect the facility?
They'll do what it takes.
That could be chaos. The end of civilization or the beginning of a devious scheme.
Why wouldn't they prepare us?
Ancient prophecies, lost symbols, solar explosions, underground bunkers, the 2012 conspiracy.
I'm Jesse Ventura, and this is Conspiracy Theory.
Jesse Ventura is in a race against time at a major American airport. His investigation into an end-of-the-world conspiracy has led him here. And all he has to go on is a series of bizarre clues.
What in the hell is that inside the suitcase?
Strange symbols, hidden signs. A real-life mystery has suddenly become a scene from a Dan Brown thriller. And then, without warning, Jesse is surrounded by police.
What? What the hell is this? When I first heard of this 2012 conspiracy, it sounded like a bunch of New Age mumbo-jumbo. But then we got a tip from a guy named Jim Higgins. He edits books on conspiracies, He said this could be the one to end all. He wasn't kidding. The clock could be ticking on this one.
Governor, I think there's a real serious problem that I think you are the person who can look into. There is something that's going to be happening in the next couple of years. Scientists have reported that there is going to be solar flare activity that's going to be much, much more serious than what we've seen in the past. And this could cause major repercussions for people in this country.
Wait, in a couple of years? You mean we're talking the Mayan calendar here?
The governor has reason to be skeptical. Many fears about 2012 are based on an ancient Mayan calendar that happens to end on December 21st of that year. But even that so-called end-of-days prophecy has been subject to debate.
Whether you believe in the Mayan calendar prophecies or not is actually sort of beside the point. There are some actual scientific facts that have been reported by NASA. In about 2 years, the sun is going to go through a very unusual series of solar flares. The radiation that comes out from that solar flare, that electromagnetic energy, is going to hit the Earth. What they're talking about is something major.
How bad do they think this is going to be?
Well, it can be bad enough that our crumbling electric grid could be hit in a major way. Now, we're not talking about a few cities losing power even. We're talking about it could be half the country. It could be more than that.
The whole country? And the government's not concerned about this?
They're not doing anything about it.
Jim Higgins is about to clarify what he means by not doing anything. The government may not be working to fix the grid, but some people within the government are planning to ride out the firestorm.
That could be chaos. Why wouldn't they prepare us?
There are underground bases. FEMA has one in Mount Weather, and that is a big fortress where they can house literally thousands of people for continuity of government.
That means keep the government operating in times of an extreme emergency. Somebody's got to be in charge.
Right. We know that there are dozens and dozens of other bases, reported known government bases in various locations. Now, who's going to go down into these underground bases? People who are essentially wealthy and powerful.
The private sector.
And the elite.
So a select few will be taken care of, you're saying, and they will be put in these underground places while the rest of us are left to deal with the chaos that goes on up here?
Exactly.
It can't get much more clear than that. The elite live in massive, comfortable underground bunkers. You and me, we're not invited in.
What you're telling me is that they're preparing, meaning the government, the wealthy people, they're being taken care of, and the hell with the rest of us?
We're being ignored.
Well, Jim, you've intrigued me with this. I mean, I realize now it's beyond the Mayan calendar. The Mayans may have been right, but there's facts that indicate why they may be right. So I'll get my team of investigators on this.
That's great, Governor. I really think this is important. Scientists, NASA, all are saying that there's going to be some serious issues.
Now Jesse must find proof the government knows disaster is coming. Proof they're planning the survival of the elite.
That's one segment of the latest episode of Jesse Ventura's Conspiracy Theory, the 2012 Conspiracy. And again, the show is undeniably entertaining, but it's very exploitive and sensationalistic. So I sometimes have mixed feelings about it. Now, when it comes down to somebody sitting on the couch and flipping through channels, would I rather them land on Dancing with the Stars or Jesse Ventura's show? That's an easy answer. And I think a lot of the things they discussed in there, the grid and the future and shelter and food, I think one lets me know that my sister cites food world order and cyberspace war are only going to become probably more important as the time goes by. But I think it also leads us into our little bit of coverage on the situation in Haiti, this falling under the murder and mayhem subheading on this news purge. Again, we're still going over the massive January 14th news purge. Attention, duped masses. Panic, looting, and triage after major Haiti quake. That's from the New York Times. An early Associated Press video report And I'm sure the situation now is much more dire, but let's get a brief clip on the earthquake in Haiti from the Associated Press.
The first images from Haiti are confirming the world's worst fears. The damage there is complete, and the carnage is expansive. Haitians have begun piling bodies on the streets of Port-au-Prince, and the injured lay prone on the pavement. The exact extent of Tuesday's 7.0 magnitude earthquake is still unknown, but officials in the impoverished nation say the death toll could range from 100,000 to a half million. Help, though, is being pledged worldwide.
Haitians are our neighbors in the Americas and here at home, so we have to be there for them in their hour of need.
There is no doubt that we are facing a major humanitarian assistance emergency, and that a major relief effort will be required.
Some of that help from the U.S. is already underway, including this search and rescue team from Virginia, and more has been pledged.
They don't know where the help is coming from. And thanks to all of us who stand here together, hope is about to come to Haiti.
However, most of the communications networks in the country have been destroyed, and strong aftershocks are still being felt. Already, the country's presidential palace lies in ruins, as does the UN building in the capital. Schools and hospitals were also destroyed, as well as untold number of homes and businesses. Rescue crews, though, say they believe many people are trapped alive in the rubble, and they promise to pull out as many as they can. Diane Kepley, The Associated Press.
Now, as if that isn't bad enough, and what's getting a lot of the firestorm, and of course it's too big to ignore, and we've covered his ridiculous prognostications before, 9/11 because of the homosexuals, Katrina because of the ungodliness, and now Pat Robertson says that the ancient Haitians pact with the devil caused this earthquake.
Something happened a long time ago in Haiti, and people might not want to talk about it. They were under the heel of the French, Napoleon III and whatever. And they got together and swore a pact to the devil. They said, we will serve you if you'll get us free from the French. True story. And so the devil said, okay, it's a deal. And they kicked the French out. You know, the Haitians revolted and got themselves free. But ever since, they have been cursed by one thing after the other, desperately poor. That island of Hispaniola is one island. It's cut down the middle. On the one side is Haiti, on the other side is the Dominican Republic. The Dominican Republic is prosperous, healthy, full of resorts, etc. Haiti is in desperate poverty. Same islands. They need to have, and we need to pray for them, a great turning to God. And out of this tragedy, I'm optimistic something good may come.
Well, and of course, and we're going to note this, that our misleaders never like to let a tragedy go unexploited. TheIndian.com has more on the tens of thousands feared dead in the Haiti earthquake. However, our third clip covering the Haitian situation, author of No Logo, as well as The Shock Doctrine, Naomi Klein has issued a Haiti disaster capitalism alert, saying stop them before they shock again.
As I write about in The Shock Doctrine, crises are often used now as the pretext for pushing through policies that you cannot push through under times of stability. Countries in periods of extreme crisis are desperate for any kind of aid, any kind of money, and are not in a position to negotiate fairly the terms of that exchange. And I just want to pause for a second and read you something, which is pretty extraordinary. I just put this up on my website. The headline is, Haiti, Stop Them Before They Shock Again. This went up a few hours ago, 3 hours ago, I believe, on the Heritage Foundation website. Amidst the suffering, crisis in Haiti offers opportunities to the U.S. In addition to providing immediate humanitarian assistance, the U.S. response to the tragic earthquake in Haiti offers opportunities to reshape Haiti's long dysfunctional government and economy, as well as to improve the image of the United States in the region. And then goes on. Now, I don't know whether things are improving or not, because It took the Heritage Foundation 13 days before they issued 32 free market solutions for Hurricane Katrina. We put that document up on our website as well. It was close down housing projects, turn the Gulf Coast into a tax-free free enterprise zone, get rid of the labor laws that forces contractors to pay a living wage. So it took them 13 days before they did that in the case of Katrina. In the case of Haiti, they didn't even wait 24 hours. Now, why I say I don't know whether it's improving or not is that 2 hours ago, they took this down. So somebody told them that it wasn't coot, and then they put up something that was much more delicate. Fortunately, the investigative reporters at Democracy Now! Managed to find that earlier document in a Google cache. But what you'll find now is a much gentler things to remember while helping Haiti. And buried down there it says long-term reforms for Haitian democracy and its economy are also badly overdue. But the point is, we need to make sure that the aid that goes to Haiti is one, grants, not loans. This is absolutely crucial. This is an already heavily indebted country. This is a disaster that, as Amy said, on the one hand is nature, is, you know, an earthquake. On the other hand is the creation, is worsened by the poverty that our governments have been so complicit in deepening. Crises, natural disasters are so much worse in countries like Haiti because you have soil erosion, because the poverty means people are building in very, very precarious ways. So houses just slide down because they're built in places where they shouldn't be built. All of this is interconnected. But we have to be absolutely clear that this tragedy, which is part natural, part unnatural, must under no circumstances be used to, one, further indebt Haiti, and two, to push through unpopular corporatist policies in the interest of our corporations. And this is not a conspiracy theory. They have done it again and again.
This is not a conspiracy theory. Our last few headlines on the Haitian situation. Haiti in ruins needs urgent and massive help. That's from NewsJunkiePost.com. Haiti's history of military coups and some of the reasons for extreme poverty by way of crooks and liars. Sidebar to this, and I have the video linked up by way of the Daily Mail out of the UK, reporting on a different earthquake that I didn't hear about that happened a few days ago in North Carolina. There's an interesting video, and as the Daily Mail puts it, shows evidence of dogs' sixth sense as the canine bolts out of the room before the quake strikes. It's an interesting little silent bit of CCTV for you to watch. We also recently had an earthquake in California as well. Haitian quake 35 times more powerful than atomic bomb, again from NewsJunkiePost.com. U.S. has halted deportations to Haiti, again, allgov.com. Natural News, and Mike Adams goes into the food security collapse in Haiti as machete-wielding gangs fight in the streets. More from McClatchy, Haiti begins burying earthquake dead in mass graves. Corpses used as roadblocks as anger grows. That's from the Telegraph. And yes, from the AFP, U.S. military moves in troops and ships to aid quake-hit Haiti. And the last thing posted up, it's not only Pat Robertson, but also Rush Limbaugh. They're both under fire for remarks about earthquake in Haiti. Again, always keeping it within the WWF left-right paradigm. And what's on Google News right now as I look at it, Haiti earthquake displaces 300,000. We have more notes of mayhem and murder to note, as well as the latest on the Obamasiah and the war whores. But I'm going to take a moment here, my friends, to tell you we're now getting into hour number two of the 153rd episode of MediaMonarchy.com. It's January 15th, 2010. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the sites and show MediaMonarchy.com, as well as FoodWorldOrder.com and CyberspaceWar.com. Again, coming to you live, as always, thanks to the Portland Radio Authority, PRARadio.org, and our fine list of affiliates. You may notice I've been trying to change up the music beds, keep things new and fresh. Again, I basically use my know-how from being a program music director at a college radio station. I took my rock radio programming know-how and put it into the world of alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. So having said all that, it's looking like my calculations of what I could go over in this episode were wildly off. But we're going to keep moving and cover as much news as possible. Again, you're going to have a hard time finding any other alternative news show that gives you so much raw data. MediaMonarchy.com. Returning to the news purge, now to the other notes of murder and mayhem. The doomsday clock has moved back a whole minute. That's from the BBC. I'm sure no doubt thanks to the Obamasiah. Handling of Fort Hood shooting suspect could bring discipline. That's from the LA Times. Town terribly shocked as 19 child sex charges for a police chief in Kansas. Two dead in Lawrence County, Ohio shooting. Minnesota man tried to stab his brother. Brazen midday shooting shocks Ceres, California. There's a video to go along with that. A trucker crashed on Oregon's I-5 the other day after choking on his chicken. He was eating. Fatal gunplay in Maine's... it's not Maine's sex dungeon, but it's a quote-unquote sex dungeon located in the state of Maine. Fatal gunplay in Maine sex dungeon leads to trial. That's from clicktohouston.com. And the last note of murder and mayhem hits me where I lived. Former Shepherd University professor murdered by his son in West Virginia. Now, the murder, I should clarify, did not take place in West Virginia. The murder happened in Florida. Apparently, this guy, Coffeen is his last name. It's reported here on yourforstate.com. that Robert Coffeen was found dead in his home on December 18th. His son Stephen is being held without bond. The murder happened in Clearwater, Florida, of course known for being ground zero of a lot of strange Scientology activity, but that's probably neither here nor there. I don't recall ever hearing this professor's name. But the radio station I was just referencing, WSHC, was at Shepherd University. So, again, the mass murder contagion, it all just gets stranger and stranger. You've got brothers stabbing each other, sons killing fathers. Let's get to the latest on the Obamasiah and the criminal cabinet. Obama's promise that the State of the Union address will not interfere with the final season opener of Lost. And that's a good thing. And now, AllGov.com and Huffington Post both cover this story. Robert Gibbs' State of the Union won't coincide with the premiere of Lost. If you want to go a little deeper into this, you should check out Walt Disney and their contributions to Obama and Disney and ABC and Lost, and there you go. Obama is going on about 6 months without a press conference. That's from Fox News. And again, we've noted time and time again how strange it is as the phony political paradigms switch every 4 or 8 years. One party's in favor, one party's out of favor. folks do good work when they're bashing the other team, but when their team's in power, they suddenly become very, very quiet. Now Fox News exposing the misdeeds of our current puppet, whereas they were all rah, rah, rah about the previous puppet. Again, shell game. Obama's gone about 6 months without a press conference. We noted several weeks ago, I believe he's now golfed more than Bush had by this time. A scathing one from the Village Voice, George W. Obama, again, just waiting and hoping for all the well-meaning left to have their old shit moment, because the sooner they realize they got had by a slick ad campaign and the agenda of the war of terror is the same. Obama uses new tactic to ignore laws, another fantastic one from allgov.com. So it's not only signing statements, this is some sort of loophole where we give it to someone else and they don't publish their findings, so it's a workaround. Again, Obama said no signing statements, he wouldn't, you know, rely on executive orders and da-da-da, but again, it's all been lies. Don't listen to what they say, look at what they do. Christian Science Monitor even asking what happened to Obama's transparency pledge. Torture continues under Obama, creating more terrorists and further destabilizing the economy. That's from Washington's blog. We noted the third party crasher to that state dinner back in November at the White House. The update on that from Raw Replay is that this guy says he was invited. Obama received $20 million from the healthcare industry in his 2008 campaign. Again, we talk about Walt Disney, we talk about the healthcare industry, we talk about Goldman Sachs being the biggest donor to Obama. Side note of the other phony political paradigm, as mascot and martyr, Sarah Palin debuts on Fox News. That's from Swampland blog on time.com. However, again, to illustrate what I've just been saying, Obama wants record $708 billion for wars next year alone. Obama will ask Congress for an additional $33 billion to fight unpopular wars in Afghan, Iraq, on top of a record $708 billion for the Defense Department next year, a request that could be an especially hard sell to some of the yada, yada, yada. It'll be a hard sell, again, until some catastrophic catalyzing event. And we got to get behind the agenda. Again, like Naomi Klein said, even though she doesn't take it to the fuller extent that they make it happen on purpose, when disasters happen, our misleaders use them to ram through things they wouldn't have been able to do without that kind of social political capital. An interesting note on those vaunted green jobs, they're mostly going to prisoners. Another note on Cass Sunstein, this from PalestineThinkTank.com. Again, Obama advisor promotes cognitive infiltration of conspiracy theorists. Another note on Cass Sunstein, this time from CNSNews.com. Cass Sunstein advocated removing people's organs without explicit consent. Now, this isn't going all the way to, like, the Chinese mobile organ vans. He's basically saying, well, if you didn't check that you want to be an organ donor, but you're more or less a corpse once we got you, we might just take your organs anyway. Against, perhaps, the family's express wishes. The more sinister connections would, of course, bring up Israelis and organ harvesting, but let's not go there because we can go to the War Horse updates and hit the U.S. to store $800 million in military gear in Israel. This from the horse's mouth, Haaretz. The U.S. Army will double the value of emergency military equipment it stockpiles on Israel's soil, and Israel will be allowed to use the U.S. ordnance in the event of a military emergency, according to a report in Monday's issue of the U.S. Weekly Defense News. Danger Room goes into Iran blaming U.S.-real mercenaries in the assassination of a nuke scientist. I believe we referenced that Tehran prof that was assassinated. Blackwater/Z, remember Blackwater changed their name to XEZ. It stands for nothing, it's just meant to misdirect you. Blackwater and Z mercenaries have arrived in Somalia, so says Al-Shabaab. Meanwhile, two former Blackwater guards charged with Afghan murder. That's from the BBC. Again, Danger Room has a top U.S. intel officer saying the Afghan insurgency can sustain itself indefinitely. I wonder if that's because they get tons of weapons and funding with our double and triple agents. Fort Hood troops ordered to Afghanistan. I suppose that would be even more troops because I feel like we've hit that headline before. This time it's from the Associated Press on January 12th. Military.com goes into a phony general admitting to his phony medals. How a plugged-in D.C. think tank published a general's brutal intel critique, of course, from Danger Room. Army charges mom who refused deployment. Believe she's in Savannah, Georgia, and her name is Alexis Hutchinson, 21-year-old Army cook. Guantanamo guard reunited with two ex-inmates. This is a strange story that has strange photos, by the way, of the BBC. Gulf Daily News has a sign of the empire's pathology, and that would be more U.S. military suicides than actual combat deaths in Afghan-Iraq. Supplemental to that, from BigNewsNetwork.com, U.S. veterans committing suicide at higher rate. A disturbing last note to the war whores. Scott Ritter charged in child sexting. Ex-UN weapons inspector in child sexting, Ritter had said earlier charges were meant to silence his criticism of the Iraq War. Dateline Philadelphia, a longtime UN weapons inspector who blamed a 2001 sexting arrest on his criticism of the Iraq War, has again been charged in an online child sex case, and this time he was caught on camera. Not diving full into this, but I believe, regardless of whether this is smear or true or whatever, and then the latest things with Mike Rupert and sexual harassment, whether those things are smears or true, I think kind of shows you that you shouldn't play follow the leader, even within the alternative media world. The final note here on this massive 114 news purge, attention duped masses, goes to an amazing post on redactednews.blogspot.com, connecting the dots, the 2009 year in review. Way too much to go over, but again, I've been trying to shine lights on some of my newer favorite websites, like foodsafetynews.com and allgov.com and Redacted News. So like I said, my calculations of getting through all this news may prove to be wildly inaccurate because now we're only moving to our second post, and it's another massive one. Police state updates, drones, guns, abuse, and arrest. This from News Junkie Post, citing a report from KPRC in Houston, Texas. They recently filmed a secret, quote-unquote, experiment by law enforcement agencies, including Homeland Stupidity, and that would be an experiment of a drone intended to spy on you.
Local 2 investigates the secret aircraft the Houston Police Department is now testing. It's a new unmanned drone that can patrol from the air. Now, it's also a device that HPD wanted to keep under wraps, and now they're being just a little vague at how they're going to use it. KPRC Local 2 investigative reporter Stephen Dean gives you the first look at the plane that could soon be watching you from above.
Neighbors accustomed to livestock and wide open land had no idea what to make of all this. Black trucks, satellite dishes, a radar swirling, and a portable launch pad with something covered up. At the entrance to this Waller County ranch was a Houston police roadblock, checking all the dignitaries arriving for this secret test. Their invitation spelled out, "No media allowed." We tried to ask this HPD lieutenant on his way back out.
They'll be coming out here in a minute.
They all gathered around the launch pad, big shots with police departments from all over the Houston area. And now, the show they came for, the test you were not supposed to see. It's an unmanned drone aircraft. HPD, the Federal Department of Homeland Security, and other invited guests all watching to see how this drone could be used for police work in and around Houston.
We tracked that drone from News Chopper 2, and that drone was able to use a high-powered camera to track us. Those cameras can actually look into people's homes or even follow them in moving cars, which raises all sorts of new questions.
One issue is going to be law enforcement using this, and when, by using these drones, are they conducting a search in which they would need probable cause or a warrant.
The military's been dropping bombs and using drones for secret war zone surveillance for years. And last month, the California wildfires were snuffed out with drones joining the other firefighting tankers in the air. This drone is made by a Washington State firm called In Situ. They weigh about 40 pounds, but they can carry 15 pounds more in police gear. They can stay airborne over Houston 15 to 24 hours without landing.
I wasn't ready to publicize this.
HPD quickly hustled together a news conference when it realized our cameras were there for the entire secret test.
Potential public safety applications include mobility, evacuations, homeland security, search and rescue, as well as tactical.
Executive Assistant Chief Martha Montalvo admits that could mean covert police action, but she says it's too early to tell what else HPD will do with the aircraft. Maybe these guys know. We saw many ticket writers from HPD's radar task force, so we asked, are these drones headed for ticketing speeders from the sky?
I'm not ruling anything out.
Back at the secret test site, police helicopter pilots claimed the entire airspace was restricted. They even threatened our local to investigate pilot with action from the FAA if we didn't leave. But we checked with FAA several times, and there never was a flight restriction. That leaves some to wonder whether the police are now ready to use terrorism fears since 9/11 to push the envelope even further into our private lives.
We see that some of these technologies that are being used in the aftermath of 9/11 that we thought were necessary to protect our security in that time are now being used to diminish privacy in other contexts, and that is extremely worrisome.
HPD says it'll tackle privacy and illegal search issues later. Headquarters is hoping to begin policing Houston with this new tool in about 7 months, but more test flights are needed. No word yet on when the next flight is planned or whether it'll be treated as a big secret like the one captured by our cameras. Stephen Dean, KPRC Local 2.
Nicely done.
Nicely done indeed. An exclusive from blacklistednews.com goes into the North American security perimeter that, of course, does seem to be on the horizon between NAFTA and the SPP. That's the Security for Prosperity and Partnership. That, of course, would even tie in to the ACLU's study of the Constitution-free zone that pretty much comprises 100 miles from the perimeter of the United States. So I'm soaking in it right now. But staying on the same tip of the police state, we now have the El Paso police getting M4 semi-automatic rifles.
The gun the police department just bought is an M4 that's otherwise known as an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle. And it's a big upgrade from the handguns and shotguns the officers have now. It's powerful and accurate, and soon the M4 semi-automatic rifle will be in El Paso police officers' hands.
It's going to be used in rare instances. Hopefully we won't have to use them at all in El Paso.
Police Chief Greg Allen says El Paso is behind places like Austin, Albuquerque, and Dallas, where officers there already have these rifles. But El Paso is not like those cities. As we've extensively reported, El Paso is the second safest city in the country, and the violence in Juarez has yet to spill over.
This is an opportunity to prepare us for the possibility of any spillover, and to forego that in the hope that it doesn't would be negligent on my part, to say the least.
So while it's now official that the police department will be buying these guns, some are questioning if the money could have been spent somewhere else.
I feel it's important that we look at this federal money and how it's being spent.
Glenn says his Chamizal neighborhood could make that money go a long way.
The exact amount, almost $800,000, would renovate St. Anne's Center, which could be used then for this gang prevention.
But Allen says the federal grant used to pay for the rifles was very specific about how the money could be used.
But this was one of those unique situations where the stipulation of not being able to use monies for weapons didn't exist with this grant. And that was an opportunity we couldn't pass up.
And it should be noted the federal grant was part of the stimulus bill. The rifles will be purchased in the next 90 days, and officers will go through 40 hours of training before receiving one of the M4s.
What are they arming themselves for? Shock study. 12% of kids sexually abused in government custody. But from the Register, as well as the Boston Globe, police now cuffing citizens for videotaping arrests. Since the police beating of Rodney King in 91, Men in Blue have looked warily at the civilian videotaping of arrests and other police activities. Some cops are so opposed to the practice, they've begun arresting the amateur videographers and charging them criminally. So the article, sources back to the Boston Globe, and research from the New England Center for Investigative Reporting. And basically, as a staff attorney with the ACLU says, the police apparently do not want witnesses to what they do in public. A quick note across the pond, the UK tax man using terror laws 15 times a day to spy on suspects. That's from the Daily Mail, again, telling you when they were rolling out this apparatus that, again, they were only allowed to do this once the catalyzing catastrophic events, and they could use the political capital to do things they wouldn't have otherwise been able to do. They told us, well, we're just going to listen to the terrorist phone calls. It's not for you. But we see time and time again, and I've told you to just Google, you know, Patriot Act used in non-terror-related cases. All crime is now terror. But let's jump back to the States, back into Texas. Man who confronts Poppy Bush gets the same from the Secret Service. The video blogger who confronted international war criminal George Bush Sr. was himself visited by the Secret Service after posting a video of the whole diatribe on YouTube.
When it comes to going out to eat, Houston, Texas has got to be one of the best cities in the entire world. But sometimes a restaurant's atmosphere can leave you feeling rather ill. As if my stomach wasn't churning enough from walking into Fuzzy's Pizza and Cafe on Antoine and seeing the first two items on the menu were the President and Barbara Bush pizzas, I had to sit underneath a wall of photos of this so-called man. You see, Papa Bush lives not too far from where I do. When he frequents business in this city, it's often turned into a shrine of sorts. When I saw that Secret Service agent walk in the door and scope the place out, I knew lunch was only going downhill. Sure enough, several minutes later, the entourage arrived. I went out to my car to get my camera and come back in and give this so-called man a piece of my mind.
Murderous Zionist piece of shit. You won't get your New World Order, guy. I can't, are you happy for the millions of deaths you're part of? People know. People are waking up to the reality of this, Mr. Bush, you piece of shit.
Listen, that's unnecessary.
No, it is not unnecessary. The guy is responsible for killing millions. If you knew anything about real history... Fuck you!
Fuck you. This was not a planned action event. I wasn't there to educate other people. It was a spur-of-the-moment situation, and I took advantage of the opportunity to vent my frustrations in the face of a mass murderer responsible for the deaths of hundreds of thousands of innocent people, including our last real president, John F. Kennedy.
What's that?
It's not real business.
Well, hey, man. Some pretty dirty clientele you keep.
In hindsight, I thought maybe I should have brought up the Franklin cover-up and his gay pedophile tendencies, or Iran-Contra and his drug running, or his involvement in occult rituals at the Bohemian Grove, or his theft along with the Clintons of millions of dollars through the Bush-Clinton-Katrina Fund, or his relations with the Bin Ladens, or his calls for a new world order. The list goes on and on for anyone educated with real history. even though I did not mention any specific crimes, and I basically just cursed out the old diabolical psychopath, I'm glad I did it. There are millions of people around this world who have broken free of the propaganda. I'd like to encourage each and every one of you to stand up and speak out in the face of tyranny, each and every time it rears its ugly head.
That was, of course, a viral confrontation. And again, perhaps not the most constructive of ways to go about it. But as he said, it wasn't a planned thing. He just saw a dirtbag and called him such. And again, we would put the call out for anybody to do the same whenever the cast of criminal characters and misleaders are gallivanting around our towns and cities. Don't do anything illegal. But you can let them know how you feel. Last couple notes here on the police state updates of drones, guns, abuse, and arrest. Did court deal a fatal blow to tasers for police? We can only hope. That's from newamericanmedia.org. BBC asking if statistics can help catch terrorists. And the final note, Boone County Sheriff's Department to receive new investigative device. That would be Missouri cops getting a universal forensics extraction device. You are the terrorist. You are the enemy. And again, we don't want to make it all about hating cops, because you know that vicious cycle that we've talked about. The more everybody piles on and hates cops and thinks they're a bunch of bastards, the more they're going to compact into their little tribal group. So we finished up with the police state updates right there. And let's now move to some of the latest. It's the TSA paranoia. Last week, and again at the top of this episode, I referenced that I was going to have a hard time topping last week's episode. It just kind of all came together and really worked and was effective, I believe. We went over all the Flight 253 updates and the TSA paranoia, but of course it keeps spilling out because, again, as we've said, it was sort of like a contagion. But this from CNN, body scanners can store and send images. A privacy group says the Transportation Security Administration is misleading the public with claims that full body scanners at airports cannot store or send their graphic images. The TSA specified in 2008 documents that the machines must have image storage and sending abilities, according to the Washington-based Electronic Privacy Information Center, EPIC, EPIC.org. In the documents obtained by EPIC and provided to CNN, the TSA specifies that the body scanners it purchases must have the ability to store and send images when in test mode. That requirement leaves open the possibility the machines, which can see beneath people's clothing, remember we mentioned last week that it makes your genitals eerily visible, this requirement leaves open the possibility that the machines can be abused by TSA insiders and hacked by outsiders. EPIC, of course, got this info thanks to a FOIA lawsuit. We, of course, flash you back to my massive Flight 253 updates posting on Patsy's privacies, lockdowns, and more. But like I said, there's all kinds of new updates on the TSA paranoia contagion. We note, again, by way of a flashback, that body scanner was installed in a Colorado courthouse back in 2008. So again, these things aren't new. They're just now announcing them to you. We noted last week that Ottawa had said they bought them months ago and weren't responding to the new TSA paranoia. But taking it down the DARPA path, but again, it sounds like sci-fi, but it is non-fi, mind-reading machines. And that will, of course, be the next step if we accept these naked body scanners. FBI arrests two more in New York City terror investigation. That's from the Washington Post. Air marshals rush to stop dozens of attacks. That's from the Telegraph. Mutala pleads not guilty in plane attack plot. And the Tennessee Sons of Liberty note and ask the question, will the real underwear bomber please stand up? And they've got interesting photos from around the world showing different newspapers and different news organizations showing obviously different photos of the supposed underwear bomber. Flight 253, Anatomy of a Cover-Up from Tom Burkhart in Anti-Fascist Calling. Flight 253, The Cover-Up from Alex Constantine. And now here's one we've got to go into a little bit. Wouldn't you know it, it's from allgov.com. Obama appoints Mr. Slam Dunk to investigate the underwear bomber and Fort Hood murders. John McLaughlin. President Obama's choice to uncover the intel failures surrounding Christmas Day airline bombing attempt and the Fort Hood shootings has been called one of the brightest minds of the intel community. But his career in the shadowy world of intel gathering is the very thing that has caused some to question McLaughlin's selection to shed light on these recent incidents. McLaughlin's involvement with the Central Intelligence Agency ranges from the Reagan administration when he went along with the creative intel efforts of Director William Casey and Deputy Robert Gates, to the George W. Bush years. In fact, it was McLaughlin as the number two man in the CIA who supposedly told then-director George Tenet it would be a slam dunk to provide evidence of Iraq's secret weapons of mass destruction program and who presented the evidence as such to W. In doing so, McLaughlin chose to ignore warnings from German intel agents that the U.S. shouldn't trust information provided by an Iraqi con man known as Curveball, who claimed Saddam's regime had mobile biolabs. Intelligence expert Melvin Goodman has characterized McLaughlin as, quote, one of the ideological drivers for the CIA's policy of torture and abuse, secret prisons, and extraordinary rendition. More from Melvin Goodman on this situation from truthout.org, the Record on Curveball from the National Security Archive. And again, we had to further illuminate that story. That's one of those key stories. Again, who gets appointed to the cover-up commission? More change you can't believe in. A somewhat humorous update to the situation at the Newark airport that we went over last week. Of course, that would be one, that there was a breach and then a massive lockdown, and then it was discovered that the CCTV cameras didn't work anyway. And what was the cause of all this stuff? Wouldn't you know it? It was a crazy little thing called love.
As his friends put it, love led to the security breach at Newark Liberty International Airport. Friends say the man charged with the breach is a romantic who loves his girlfriend and just went to say goodbye to her. Authorities arrested 28-year-old Haisong Zhang at his New Jersey home Friday. Surveillance video shows a woman in a long white coat approaching the guard stand from inside the terminal. The man sees her and ducks under the security rope, and the two walk past arm in arm. Authorities say the man was seen on a separate surveillance camera leaving the terminal about 20 minutes later. Zhang, who is Chinese and a student at Rutgers, has been in the U.S. since 2004. He faces a trespassing charge and a fine of up to $500. He's scheduled to be arraigned this coming week. When Zhang breached security on January 3rd, it triggered the shutdown of one of Newark's busiest terminals for 6 hours, stranding thousands of passengers and contributing to long delays. The TSA worker who allegedly left his post is on administrative leave. Myra Lopez, The Associated Press.
Oh, see, now you don't really hear so much about the part where the guy wasn't at his post in the first place. You just hear about the guy who did the breach. The funny kind of sidebar to this, on a personal note, is several years ago, my girlfriend and I almost did that exact same thing. Because you separate and you go through security, and then it kind of comes back together as you start to head to the gate. And when you see the person you love a few feet away and you're not going to see them for a long time, you want to try and go grab a hug. I almost watched my girlfriend get tackled by a TSA agent because of that very thing. But that's not all. Passenger charged for a bomb threat, which sparked a UK terror alert. That's right, a security alert at Heathrow Airport.
Anti-terrorist officers are questioning three British men after a major security alert on a plane at Heathrow late last night. The men, aged 58, 48 and 36, were detained when armed police boarded an Emirates flight as it was taxiing on the tarmac. It happened just after 9 o'clock last night as the Boeing 777 was about to leave for Dubai. The Metropolitan Police said they were called after a verbal threat was made to staff. Police arrested the men on suspicion of making a bomb threat. No passengers were injured during the incident. It's understood police have not found any dangerous substances on the aircraft. It comes 2 weeks after a former London student attempted to detonate a device on board a flight to the US. British airports and those in the US already on high alert. In the US, the man accused of the failed bombing has pleaded not guilty to multiple charges. 23-year-old Umar Farouk Abdul-Muttalab made his first public appearance in Detroit, Michigan yesterday. He faces life in prison if found guilty.
Now, of course, the hypocrisy and selective enforcement knows no bounds. From the Associated Press, Halle Berry and her boyfriend bypass airport line. That's right, you're a slave, but if you're not in the entertainment industrial complex, you got to take off your shoes and dump your water and all that. Cleveland's airport powers went out. Flights were canceled. That's from the Washington Times. Airport shut down by TSA after jars of honey flagged as explosives. Naturalnews.com. 85-year-old woman terrorized by the TSA. That's from Prison Planet. And we also note Obama's TSA nominee targets anti-government Christians? Question mark. This goes into Errol Suthers, or Suthers, S-O-U-T-H-E-R-S. That's Obama's possible TSA head, who's, of course, already abused his power to look into information about an ex-wife and harass her new boyfriend or something. Just ridiculous, petty garbage. But of course, that won't stop him from being improved or being approved and turning in fine work for the Prince of Peace. Change, baby. The last note here, with all the updates to this posting about body scanners storing and sending your eerily visible genitals. We've got a fascinating note, and it's a press release posted up on earthtimes.org. CIA misspells terrorist names to bypass the TSA and let the patsies fly. One of the 9/11 hijackers appeared on the no-fly list with a deliberately misspelled name. The CIA supplied that name just like they did with Umar Farouk Abdul-Muttalab. DCBureau.org is publishing that page from the 2006 no-fly list with the misspelled 9/11 hijacker's name. Veteran investigative reporters Susan and Joseph Trento, who first obtained and exposed the flaws in the no-fly list in 06, have completed a new investigation of the CIA's role in airline security. It reveals that the CIA is bypassing other government agencies and following terrorists on airplanes without telling TSA or the airlines involved. It shows how terrorists and nuclear proliferators have been allowed to fly because the CIA has refused to add their correct names or aliases to the no-fly list. Susan and Joseph Trento have a two-part investigation, the no-fly list. Again, that's posted up on dcbureau.org, both parts 1 and 2 linked up for you. And among the things that it reveals is that the CIA deliberately misspells names and does not provide aliases of suspected terrorists and criminals who are being targeted for recruitment or have relationships with the agency when it passes the names on to the NCTC, the National Counterterrorism Center, then to be integrated into the Terrorism Identity Data Mart environment, TIDE, Selectee, and the other no-fly lists. There are a lot of links in there to read more about Selectee and TIDE and the NCTC and the 9/11 hijackers, as well as Muttalab. This, again, speaks to the rogue networks. of patsies and moles and double and triple agents. Then again, just look into the testimony of Kurt Haskell regarding Mutilab. Most of the time these big terror busts happen, you'll find that the people have been watched, they've been flagged, we knew what they were doing, we knew where they were. That's how, of course, all the info comes out minutes after the attack, with passports and photos and all of that. Abel Danger identified them. J. Michael Springman worked at the Visa in Jeddah. He wasn't going to give visas to guys who ended up being 9/11 hijackers. He said these guys are known terrorists. And he was told, yes, we know. The terror designation is just their cover. Black Ops. Again, you watch it in movies, you read about it in Tom Clancy, but oh God, that couldn't really happen in real life. That's crazy conspiracy theorists. Let's quickly now go into more change you can't believe in. This by way of Kurt Nimmo, with a lot of other information provided from WhiteHouse.gov and PDF links. We also have Canada Free Press, the UPI, the Los Angeles Times, RobertStevens.org. Now, that seems like a lot of coverage. However, this story was not covered. It was more covered up. Obama expands federal power over states with executive order. Obama has issued another executive order, another referencing what we went over previously, and that would be the executive order essentially giving Interpol diplomatic immunity and making them assets of the homeland setup. Obama has issued another executive order, this time establishing a so-called Council of Governors. The order, signed on January 11th, further diminishes the sovereignty of the states and builds on a framework for possible martial law. The executive order was more or less completely ignored by the media. Within that sentence, I do add the links to the UPI and the LA Times blog that did actually cover the story. So let's read a quick blip from the press release. And again, we have linked up the actual PDF of the executive order for you. The president today signed an executive order establishing a council of governors to strengthen further the partnership between the federal government and state governments to protect our nation against all types of hazards. When appointed, the council will be reviewing such matters as involving the National Guard of the various states, homeland defense, civil support, synchronization and integration of state and federal military activities in the United States, and other matters of mutual interest pertaining to National Guard, homeland defense, and civil support activities. End quote. In other words, the Pentagon and Homeland Security will give hand-picked governors their marching orders under the guise of synchronization and integration of state and federal military activities in the United States, which is, of course, a direct violation of posse comitatus. We have another article from Police One where a SWAT officer says that posse comitatus makes the U.S. vulnerable to terror. And again, the flashback I already referenced, Obama grants Interpol immunity as foreign assets assigned to the U.S. homeland. Is it a coincidence that there will be 10 governors on the Council of Governors and that there are 10 regions within the Federal Emergency Management Administration's umbrella for the North American Union? This just expands on previous executive orders from the previous puppet. Again, we're nonpartisan here. Both sides bought and paid for. We're starting to run out of time here. But let's see if we can cover the last few things. This is one you may not have heard about. This one kind of surprised me for it to have been such a massive story, of course, concerning homegrown errorism and the mass murder contagion. James Von Brunn, the alleged Holocaust museum shooter, has died in prison. The 89-year-old white supremacist charged in a deadly shooting at Washington's Holocaust Museum died Wednesday in North Carolina, where he'd been held while awaiting trial. James Von Brunn died shortly before 1 p.m. at a local hospital in Butner, North Carolina, said Denise Simmons, the spokeswoman for the federal prison where Von Brunn had been held. He had been suffering from chronic congestive heart failure, sepsis, and other health problems. Von Brunn, who faced charges that carried the death penalty, had been receiving medical care for months at the prison complex in Butner, which is known for its medical facilities for aging and sick federal inmates. His lawyer, A.J. Kramer, called the death a sad end to a tragic situation. Authorities say Von Brunn carried a rifle as he walked up to the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum on June 10th and then shot security guard Stephen T. Johns, who was black, as he opened the door for Von Brunn. He was wounded by gunfire from the two other guards. James Von Brunn, alleged Holocaust museum shooter, has died in prison.
A man charged with killing a guard at the Holocaust Museum in Washington has died. Officials at Butner Federal Prison in North Carolina say 89-year-old James Von Brunn died just before 1 Wednesday in the prison's hospital. Prosecutors say Von Brunn shot and killed Stephen Johns at the museum last June. Von Brunn himself was wounded by return fire from museum guards. Before the shooting, Von Brunn wrote racist and anti-Semitic screeds on his website. Von Brunn was awaiting trial and could have faced the death penalty. Von Brunn's lawyer called the death a sad end to a tragic situation. He declined further comment. In 1983, Von Brunn was convicted of attempting to kidnap members of the Federal Reserve Board. Matt Friedman, The Associated Press.
Again, if you recall last summer, the homegrown errorism contagion, where fringe, racist, nut jobs committed acts of murderous violence, and then those are used in the media to basically smear anyone who doesn't like the Federal Reserve, who has questions about the official story of 9/11. But let's quickly now see if we can blast through this last post. EconoCrash updates SECAIG, IRS, and all the rest. SEC engages in conspiracy with AIG to hide bailout evidence. Again, from Kurt Nimmo. Earlier this week, House Representative Adolphus Towns subpoenaed documents related to the so-called backdoor bailout of AIG, including documents from Timothy Geithner, the former New York Federal Reserve chief and the current U.S. Treasury Secretary. The House Oversight and Government Reform Committee is looking for info on payments made to AIG counterparties, including, of course, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, Barclays, Bank of America, Deutsche Bank, and Societe Generale. The subpoena, quote, specifically requests all documents surrounding the decision to pay AIG's counterparties 100 cents on the dollar. That, according to the AFP, with links to other clips by way of Bloomberg and InfoWars and on, but it looks like Towns and the rest of us will have to wait until 2018 to get the rest of the information because it's been hidden. But the question is, Tiny Tim Geithner going to go down in this wave of SEC AIG conspiracy?
Now to the Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner, potentially facing criminal charges. According to Fox News senior judicial analyst Judge Andrew Napolitano, there's a long way to go between here and there, so stay with us. It all deals with how the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, handled AIG, and he was in charge of that, the American Insurance Group, during the depths of the financial crisis. It's about what he did with them. Geithner headed the bank then. Bloomberg News reports that the New York Fed told AIG to withhold details from the public about its payments to banks. It reports AIG wrote in a draft that it paid banks, including Goldman Sachs, every penny on the dollar for toxic credit default swaps. Those are insurance-like contracts for financial institutions that aren't regulated and don't have to be backed by cash. The New York Fed crossed that line out of the report, according to the report citing emails between the two companies. With us now to help explain this and what the legal ramifications are, Judge Andrew Napolitano. I got to tell you, I just read all that. I didn't read it very well, and I don't understand it.
I think you read it quite well.
I didn't read it well. Would you help us understand?
Sure. Tim Geithner was the president of the New York Federal Reserve Bank in the fall of 2008,
when the Federal Reserve and the Treasury and the White House and the Congress decided to bail out AIG.
Right.
In the process of that bailing out of AIG, many, many documents were exchanged. If you went to the bank to borrow money, you'd have to fill out documents. One of the documents AIG filled out said, we owe X dollars to Goldman Sachs, and we plan on paying them 100 cents on the dollar. According to Bloomberg, emails that came out yesterday say that lawyers for the Federal Reserve Bank said, we were told to strike this from the form so that AIG would not reveal to the Treasury Department or to the public that this money was going to be paid to Goldman Sachs, because that's a politically toxic issue. Goldman Sachs making a fortune, making 100 cents on the dollar with federal funds. Now, if you go to buy a $25 savings bond from the federal government and you falsify the document to acquire that bond, you can go to jail.
That's right.
If you borrow $185 billion from the government, like AIG did, and you falsify a document, even if the government told you to do so, the people involved can go to jail. According to Bloomberg, one of the people who told them to do so was the now Treasury Secretary, Timothy Geithner.
All right. Now, they're alleging that they kept it from the people, that they didn't make it public what AIG, what they were going to be doing with this money. But is that to say that the government didn't know either?
Good question. If they just kept
that would be a key, wouldn't
it? If they just kept it from the public, there is no crime. And Geithner may actually be commended for his political wisdom. If it was required to be reported in a document and not accurately reported, that would be the criminal event. And anybody who conspired to do so, counseled to do so, or ordered someone to do so would be a potential defendant for that crime.
It's piling up on one Tim Geithner.
It is piling up on him.
Did you hear conspire? Oh, that's right. That's because that is, by dictionary definition, a conspiracy. And again, I think we've noted that it became really obvious with the previous puppet and all the connections to oil and Halliburton and all that. That's the shock and awe angle of the elites, of the Western finance oligarchs, of the New World Order, if you will. The game has kind of changed, and it's been said before that one of the last moves of any dying despotism is to pretty much loot the money. That could be very well what we are experiencing. Let's try and get the last few related updates on the Econo crash. A nice note, and again, this is something very simple. You can do yourself. MoveYourMoney.info. MoveYourMoney.info. Get out of the big banks. You think they're bastards? Don't give them your money. It's really quite simple. The last clip we'll have time to play. We're going to have to dump a few of them. But in 2009, the Federal Reserve bought 80% of U.S. debt. You know what that would be called?
David, PIMCO did announce, and we're going to ask Christina Romo about it in a moment, that we had to issue $1.5 trillion of new debt last year in 2009 in this country just to finance our deficit. 80% of that debt was bought by the U.S. Federal Reserve, which means, well, I guess you'd use the word Ponzi scheme, but I mean, they're printing the money and buying it. How long can we continue doing that? I mean, is that not something that at some point becomes, you can't have a market that goes up with that situation?
Absolutely, Aaron, and I think that's what we saw with the dollar depreciation and the rise in gold. Concerns about our fiscal situation here, and clearly at some point we're going to have to get to a situation where the economy can grow on its own without the support of government stimulus, and you're right, at some point we're going to have to pay that back. I think that's a couple of years down the road. I don't know that for 2010 that that's going to be that big an issue. At some point the Fed's going to have to start removing liquidity. They're going to have to raise rates. That will have an impact on the market and on investor optimism, but I think that's more of a 2011-2012 issue. As far as 2010 goes, I think we can still feel pretty comfortable that as far as economic growth and equity valuations are concerned, we ought to be okay.
Ponzi scheme. Oh, yeah, just by the way, you know, some silly thing is like, hey, you know, this all seems like a Ponzi scheme. The Federal Reserve, that isn't really constitutional. It's a private bank that prints our money and loans it to us at interest. They're buying our debt back? It's like paying Peter to pay Paul. Going right along with that from the BBC, Federal Reserve makes a record $52 billion profit. Again, that's because they are a private bank. Washington's blog asking the rhetorical question, is the military-industrial complex ruining the economy? Again, if you want to be anti-war. Again, if you want to be pro-environment. 9/11 truth in the war of terror. In the Fed, grow more hemp. There's my platform for you. One of the clips we won't have time for, J.P. Morgan is the largest provider of food stamps in the U.S. Again, what that says is fascinating, that the banks will now have control over you getting food as the economy collapses, as the food and water are poison, as the controlled demolition of this economy takes place. And all the jobs are moved away, and yet you still go to Walmart and buy slave-made goods, participating in your own destruction, participation, if you will, participation in your own manipulation. The only jobs that are going to be left are going to be working for the man. And the banksters will control your money and your food in the form of food stamps. So this is kind of a little PR bit. But Max Keiser, noted economist, he posted it up on his YouTube site. Furthermore, Goldman emails lay bare the trading conflicts. That's from the Dealbook blog of the New York Times. IRS commissioner doesn't file his own taxes. That's from thehill.com. That kind of reminds me of the World Health Organization head who didn't get vaccinated against the swine flu. Alan Grayson now taking on corporate campaign spending. That's from Raw Story. Again, Washington's blog noting that if the government won't break up the big banks, let's do it ourselves. And again, I would think that moveyourmoney.info would be a good step. The last note here on the Econo Crash, and another clip we don't have time for, is another great video from my man, James Corbett, at CorbettReport.com. It's the latest entry in the Economics 101 series. This time, it's Ellen Brown on the Tobin tax. I can't explain exactly what the Tobin tax is, but that's why James Corbett has folks on Economics 101 to break down quite simply, whether it was Catherine Austin Fitz last week on shunning the banksters. In this case, we have Ellen Brown, author of the massive article series called Web of Debt. But basically, we'll jump to Wikipedia real quick. A Tobin tax is an eponym, named for someone, describing the suggested tax or levy on all trade of currency across borders. Named after the economist James Tobin, the tax is intended to put a penalty on short-term speculation in currencies. So again, you want to be a speculative derivatives monster, it's going to cost you. So that latest video, Economics 101, from James Corbett, leads into the last note I'll be able to mention, and that is, of course, the latest episode of The New World Next Week, weekly video series between MediaMonarchy.com and CorbettReport.com. Again, please spread the word about these. Ultimately, now they're getting a few thousand views a week. Again, that's more than I get of my radio show. So again, thanks to James Corbett for help bringing me up a bit. And again, these are 10-minute, bite-sized video blasts. They are documented. All the sources are there for you. Give them to folks, perhaps who aren't into alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. So some of the stories we cover on this latest one were the UNICEF child death campaign in Africa failed. And that goes into all the eugenics and all the vaccines and all the sterilization. Story number two was a possible investigation into the World Health Organization's pandemic scandal. They organized the panic of swine flu. And the third story we go over is, of course, Obama expanding federal power over the states with his latest executive order. What goes along with that is a great video from Corbett Report, U.S. Army Prepares to Invade U.S. I'll blast out quickly a couple of creepy customers coming to MediaMonarchy.com in the past week, and that is, of course, Fort Bliss, bliss.army.mil, Headquarters, USA, ISC, and we also had the Florida Power and Light Company out of Miami, Florida. Not going to have time, obviously, to go over the latest on cyberspacewar.com and foodworldorder.com, and we may even have to turn later to 33 conspiracy theories that turned out to be true. But again, not enough time in the two-hour episode to go over it. My friends, I thank you so much for joining me for MediaMonarchy.com. I can't do it without you. And again, all I can say, quite simply, my name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, imploring you, asking you, pleading with you to get active or get radioactive. Take care.
Made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.